This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening, guys. Back at you with the LSU-Alabama game preview podcast. Billy Embody here for you. Sonny Shipp. Sonny, this is a game where we probably don't have to spend a ton of time on it because looking at it, especially on paper, and what we know about both of these teams, Alabama, number one team in the country, LSU, certainly coming in battered and beaten kind of from this season at 3-4. This is a game where if LSU somehow going to pull it off, it's going to be one of those like miracle type of rivalry game performances where a lot of crazy stuff happens. But, you know, I think for the most part, we might have one of these rough outings for LSU on our hands, especially based on what we saw out of Alabama in the Iron Bowl last week.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when I was looking at the depth chart yesterday and what I think the LSU's depth chart will look like on Saturday, looking at some stats, looking at some numbers and stuff, and one thing that I kept going back to was the number four ranked passing offense in Alabama and the number 120 pass defense in LSU. And when you look at when we look at discrepancies, when we look at – or not discrepancies, when we look at disparities, when we look at, you know, why is one favored by 28.5 points, you know, over the defending national champions? You know, is it the fact that Alabama's the number one ranked team in the country in all of the polls? You know, I think that what really shows how big of a mismatch this is going into Saturday is that ranking right there. You know, number four, one team's number four in the country at something, and another one is 120. And that's the feel that this has going into Saturday is a game that, I don't recall a bigger spread when LSU and Alabama have played in so long, maybe ever. And I also can't recall to where you had a situation to where you went into it just hoping that LSU can not let it get out of hand like Shea predicted in his score. I think it was 56-13 or something like that when he did his Q&A with BOL. It was bad. So you just hope that it doesn't quite turn out like that. But you know, for me, that's where that's where it all rests right there is what can LSU do to keep that Alabama passing attack from just running roughshod over it all year, all game long.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to stop Mac Jones the way he's playing right now. Devonta Smith had a big game last year against Derek Stingley, especially late in the game, kind of as they started to air it out and take some shots. But you know, this is a game where on the other side, you know, Ed Ogeron, and he said this about the interesting thing I thought was that he said this about the Georgia offensive line when they came into Tiger Stadium and got beat down pretty good in 2018. But he called this the best offensive line to come into Tiger Stadium in years, and that I think is probably with LSU's defensive line at least, you know, being able to get some pressure on Kellen Mond last week. You know, certainly did a good job for the most part on Isaiah Spiller. If this offensive line plays up to the way they've played against LSU's defensive line, it's going to be a long night. But that's probably the biggest matchup of the night, I would say, is LSU's defensive line either getting pressure on the quarterback or being able to slow the run game down.
Yeah, no question. They have to get some pressure on Mac Jones. You know, you can't just let him sit back there and just scan the field all day, because Devonta Smith's going to have 400 yards receiving. So it starts up front. And I thought that LSU actually, you know, last week against Texas A&M, and, you know, many feel that Texas A&M has one of the best offensive lines in college football right now. They've given up 3 sacks on the season. Bama's given up 13. You know, the run game A&M has. Obviously, Bama has a potent run game. But can LSU get some pressure with that 4-man front? Because Bo Pelini has, you know, he hasn't blitzed a ton this year. And it seems like that the general line of thinking late has been, let's rush 4, drop 7. And, you know, but I think against Alabama, I think against Bama, I think you got to take some chances. I think you got to give that 4-man rush a little bit of help. You got to send 5 sometimes to try to get them behind the chains, or to try to turn that 3rd down and 5, that 3rd down and 6 into a 4th down and 13, you know, or that 2nd and 6 into a 3rd down and 15. You have to get pressure on Mac Jones, and not just pressure him, you have to sack him, you have to bring him down some. And so I think you nailed it with the biggest key right there. Flip it over, no question it's LSU's offensive line. I'm still having a very hard time trying to see, you know, how you know, Orgeron and you know, his other coaches and sources felt that the run game and the offensive line were going to be strengths this year. Because, man, this offensive line, I don't think I've seen a worse offensive line at LSU than what we've seen this year. And for me, it all starts with conditioning. You know, it all starts with, you know, it all starts with guys not taking the conditioning, not taking the strength program seriously. Of course, COVID. Everybody dealt with COVID, though. You know, everybody dealt with not being able to have their normal conditioning and strength routines. But for me, I think it's just that, you know, I think that LSU just got a little too lax, and the hangover from a national championship extended quite a bit longer than it should have.
Yeah, no question. This has been a season of adjustments for LSU with all the new players, with the new coaching staff. It's not excuses at this point in the season. They haven't really been able to figure it out, you know, for a complete game, you know, for the most part. I would say the defense has played better the last 2 weeks. That is something that LSU can certainly hang its hat on going into this game. And it's probably its chance to win and, you know, keeping it close and trying to find a way to find yourself in the game in the second half. That's the only way that LSU is going to be able to somehow pull this off.
Yeah, and having, you know, when you look at your 2 true freshman quarterbacks, that certainly doesn't help things that you don't have Miles Brennan. But, you know, what are you going to get out of TJ Finley? In the 2 wins, in his 2 wins against South Carolina and against Arkansas, he's completing, I want to say it's like right around 74% of his passes. Well, that drops to 46% in his two defeats, with 4 of his 5 interceptions in those 2 games. So, you know, what are you going to get? Are you going to get the TJ Finley that, you know, that played exceptionally well, or are you going to get an early turnover like you saw in the loss to Auburn, like you saw in the Texas A&M game? Is it going to be a quick hook to Max Johnson? Personally, I think that Max Johnson, and I'm not a big proponent of a 2 quarterback system, but I think this is a game where LSU needs to incorporate both quarterbacks, because Alabama's going to get a pass rush. They're going to get a good rush. You have to think that. And Max Johnson just gives you a level of escapability, a level of being able to extend the plays that TJ just doesn't give you with that 245-250 pound body that he has. On the flip side, you sacrifice the cannon that Finley has of being able to get the ball into tight windows for Johnson, who is you know, who is known more for his athleticism than for his arm strength. So, you know, that you just really don't know what you're going to get right there. But I think for LSU to have a chance to keep this close going into the fourth quarter, to where, you know, who knows what happens with a turnover or two, win the battle of special teams, what have you, is that somehow, some way, they've got to have some chunk plays. You know, 6 and 7 yards down the field, you're not going to hold the ball for 8 minutes against this Alabama defense. You're not going to eat up, you're not going to pick up 5 yards on first down, 6 yards on second down, another five, another six, to just keep the chains moving like you did against South Carolina and like you did against Arkansas. So I think you have to have chunk plays. Obviously, losing, you know, not having Terrace Marshall, that takes away from that. So I think Eric Gilbert is a guy that you have to try to – and I'm not sure if you just bump him out, you know, if you just put him at receiver. I think you keep him at tight end and you try to get him – you try to get those matchups that favor him, that matchup against the safety, that matchup against the linebacker. But I think he's your – you know, he's going to be your best chance to get some of those chunk plays in the passing game.
Yeah, and they'll probably have to see a heavy dose of Ty Davis Price to at least try and, you know, keep time of possession, you know, in check, I think, and kind of wear down the Alabama defense. You know, that's probably – you're not – you know, being a little bit more finesse and trying to go east-west against this Alabama team probably isn't going to work very well. They're going to have to go downhill running with Ty Davis Price, really try to develop a physical identity in this one to kind of set the tone. But not, for me, I just – I don't know what an X factor could look like to even, you know, make this one, you know, go LSU's ways. I mean, turnovers, I guess, is what you look at. And if, you know, Alabama gets on the wrong side of it in a big way, that can give LSU extra possessions or field position or what have you to find a way to, like I said, be in the game, be in the fourth quarter with the chance to win or pull it out. But for me, I think this is going to be Alabama big. I mean, you know, Shea mentioned 52-13. I think with everything that's gone on with Nick Saban over the last year, fuming on the loss to Alabama in Tuscaloosa last year, what was said after the game, what the LSU players did going over the recruit section. I mean, this is if Miles Brennan was in there, you know, maybe there's a chance it's a little bit more competitive score wise. But I mean, this is like, I'm thinking, like, especially considering what they did to Auburn. I mean, that game was not close, and LSU got their doors blown off by Auburn. Now, LSU defensively is a different team than they were when they played on the Plains that day. But, I'm not going to be surprised if it's something like 59-62-10 or something like that.
Yeah, and, you know, like you said, you know, trying to pick out an X factor – the only X factor that I can, you know, go to realistically is turnovers. You know, you get a turnover. You know, you get a turnover that turns into a pick six. You get a scoop, a fumble that turns into a scoop and score. You get some of those big plays on third down, where you turn a third and five into a fourth and 11, you know, where you're sacking Mac Jones. I mean, those are really the only X factors that we can look at. You know, I think an X factor, I do think one X factor that LSU absolutely has to have is Derek Stingley. Is Derek Stingley has to, whenever he gets on Devontae Smith, and Smith was the only one who last year who really just kind of took it to Stingley in that game in Tuscaloosa. But Derek Stingley, you know, he's got to play like the All-American cornerback that he was last year, that he was entering the season right here. And that's where that, you know, that's where a pick six, that's where an interception, you know, I mean, that's the kind of plays that LSU has to muster up. I do think that, you know, I do think LSU is going to come out and that they're going to play inspired football. I'm not on the same side of the fence as you and Shea, thinking that it's just going to be just an outright, slaughter. However, I'm also not I'm not by any means saying that LSU is going to pull off an upset. I do think, you know, the key is that, okay, get it to the second half. get it to the second half where it's not 28-3, it's not 31-3. You know, get it to the second half. If that means it's 21-10, at least you have a chance to where if you make a hold, make a stop, you get the ball, or if you get the ball out of the half, you can get a score. Then all of a sudden, you can create a little momentum. You can create a little confidence. You can create a little hope. And so that's the key. Get it into the second half. Get it into the second half. When you get into the second half, get it into the fourth quarter. If you can get it into the fourth quarter, then, you know, who knows what could happen. You know, we've seen upsets over the years and stuff. This would be a monumental upset. But I think that, you know, I do think Alabama's going to win. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win handily. I'm kind of at that 41-10, 41-13 point right now, though. You know, I haven't settled on my final score for the prediction piece, but I keep going back to that 41-10, 41-13 point.
Yeah, maybe Nick Saban, you know, takes the gas off, or LSU plays it tough and makes.
I don't think Nick Saban's taking. Oh, that was a funny one, Wild Bill.
I know. You like that?
Oh, man, you drinking early in the morning today, huh?
That was my one joke of 2020 that worked out. So, you know, reset it late. Get ready for 2021 and try to figure out when the right time is to drop my one good joke of the year. So anyway, we will be covering this one on Saturday night. We'll be with you guys. 7:00, Tiger Stadium, LSU, Alabama. Tigers looking to make it 2 in a row over the Crimson Tide. We'll see how that goes, of course. But, Sonny, it's been fun previewing it with you guys. Try to enjoy the game. LSU-Bama is just such a fun game, even in 2020. I mean, it's such a good rivalry. It's what, you know, the regular season is pretty much all about. And so just try to enjoy it that we got to this point in college football to have this game and it all not be shut down. So, look. We'll be covering it for you guys. We'll hold your hand through it, and certainly, at least after the game, for most of us on our side of things, we'll be there to have a cocktail with you guys as well and talk about it. So appreciate everybody listening to the pod. Quick reminder to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and subscribe to the podcast. Thanks for everybody, again, that jumped on Cyber Monday and Black Friday deals. You can subscribe for just $1 to get you covered all the way through early January now, which includes the early signing period. So if you want to take advantage of that, try it out for just $1. You can check that out on go247.com. But until then, guys, have a good weekend and keep it locked on Go247 for all things LSU Alabama.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, April 26th on Paramount+.
Yes!